Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Flat out lying. Good morning. I'm Mike Gavin in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino in for Jennifer Koshenko. It's Friday, March 17th, 2023, St. Patrick's Day, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Pentagon says Russia is not telling the truth about how an American drone was downed in the Black Sea, and it has video to prove it.
Big banks have stepped in to put up billions to rescue another bank that was in trouble.
TikTok is pushing back on President Biden's threat to force a sale.
And where can we stash our cash?
The most important news is, yes, your deposits are safe. The FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, they cover deposits below the $250,000 coverage limit.
Andrew Cashner from MarketWatch with more on what we should do if we're nervous about our bank. The Pentagon released footage of what it says is a Russian fighter jet dumping fuel on a U.S. drone, damaging the propeller and forcing U.S. controllers to crash land the device in the Black Sea on Tuesday. John Kirby, a spokesman for the National Security Council, said the video shows the Russians have been flat out lying. The Russian Defense Ministry said its fighter jets were trying to identify the intruder flying near Crimea when the drone's own abrupt maneuvering caused it to crash. Kirby said the United States is not seeking conflict with Russia. Still, the incident further escalated tensions between the two global powers, already sharply at odds since Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year.
It's clear that it was aggressive flying, reckless flying, that they were dumping fuel, and that they struck the drone. Those 3 points were clear.
Russian military authorities say they will attempt to retrieve and study the wreckage of the drone, which is the size of a small plane and is valued at $32 million. General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said the drone sank into waters more than 4,000 feet deep, probably was destroyed, and that mitigating measures were taken to ensure no intelligence could be accessed. The biggest banks in the U.S. swooped in to rescue First Republic Bank with a flood of cash totaling $30 billion in an effort to stop a spreading panic following a pair of recent bank failures. The Wall Street Journal said the bank's executives came together in recent days to formulate the plan, discussing it with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and other officials and regulators in Washington.
We wanted to make sure that there wasn't contagion that could affect other banks and their depositors.
J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo are each making a $5 billion uninsured deposit into First Republic. Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs are kicking in $2.5 billion apiece, while five other banks are contributing $1 billion each. Big banks received an influx of billions of deposits from mid-sized lenders, including First Republic, over the past week in the wake of the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. J.P. Morgan and the others are now effectively giving back some of the money they raked in. The Journal says the pact is an extraordinary effort to protect the entire banking system from widespread panic by turning First Republic into a firewall. After the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature, fears had grown that First Republic could be next. TikTok's boss has a message for the Biden administration and Congress. A sale won't resolve America's national security concerns over the popular video app. The company's chief executive, Shaozi Chu, said in an interview that divesting the company from its Chinese owners, a move the U.S. is now demanding, doesn't offer any more protection than a multi-billion-dollar plan TikTok had already proposed. The plan involves hiring an American partner, Oracle, to store American users' data and safeguard against any Chinese influence over what videos Americans view on the app. It had been reported that the Biden administration was demanding that TikTok's Chinese owners sell their stakes or face a possible U.S. ban of the app. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We're asking Congress to act. We're asking Congress to move forward with this bipartisan legislation, the Restrict Act, as I just mentioned, and we're going to continue to do so.
Mr. Chu will have the opportunity to respond directly to those demands in the coming days. He is slated to testify before the House Energy and Commerce Committee next Thursday. Beijing hasn't publicly weighed in on a potential sale, but has increasingly signaled its desire to protect Chinese technology. Coming up on 11 minutes after the hour now, on This Morning, America's First News.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Gordon's off. I'm Mike Gavin. Thanks for coming in on this Friday. Anybody familiar with the 2008 financial crash gets palpitations when they hear about a bank going down like Silicon Valley Bank or Signature Bank. It doesn't mean another crash is coming, but it does highlight the havoc inflation and rapidly rising interest rates can cause. More now from Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, plenty of reasons for people to compare 2023 to 2008.
First of all, any president of any party would do exactly the same thing. It's very easy to say, you should not make everybody whole because we have insurance deposit limits. Everybody knows what they are, $250,000. So if you keep more money than that in a bank that's going to fail, that's your problem. However, the president, no matter Democrat, Republican, or other, the president's job is to mitigate an immediate crisis, and that's what bank bailouts do. So people think this doesn't affect them, but it does. If we had banks that were allowed to fail and depositor money was allowed to go into bankruptcy, which means depositors get in line with all other creditors and they get whatever is left, which would not be all their money, it would have a disastrous effect on other banks. I mean, we'd have people pulling out their money from banks everywhere, and we would immediately have the recession that everybody's been talking about, and you and I have talked about before. So even though there are problems with bank bailouts, moral hazard, and other things like that, any president would do it.
Rick, touch on, if you would, how the American Rescue Plan is tied into all this.
Indirectly, but it is somewhat ironic that we're around the two-year anniversary of that big relief package. And the Biden White House is sending out these fact sheets and saying, look at all the great things the American Rescue Package did. What they're not saying is the American Rescue Package contributed to inflation. And inflation is one of the reasons that we're seeing these bank bailouts now and these bank failures. So inflation means interest rates have gone up by quite a lot because the Fed has had to do that to stop inflation or to try to stop it. And that has left banks stuck because they have to pay higher deposits to their depositors because interest rates are going up everywhere and depositors would just take their money out and put it someplace else where they can get more money. But the assets that they hold against those deposits, in the case of Silicon Valley Bank at least, were government securities from a couple of years ago paying very, very low interest rates. So they got stuck. And when customers started to pull out their money just on a routine basis, Silicon Valley Bank, to cover those withdrawals, they had to sell these securities at a loss because they're not worth what they were when they bought them a couple of years ago. And that's all because of rising interest rates. Yeah. So in a way, by signing that big stimulus package, Biden contributed to the inflation that actually caused these bank failures. There have been other things that have caused inflation. It's not just one thing, but that was part of it.
We're speaking with Rick Newman of Yahoo Finance. We noticed too that the Biden administration is not using the word bailouts. We guess there's some sort of political risk there, right?
Oh, bailouts of private sector companies by the government are deeply unpopular, and it's not hard to see why. Because it looks to voters like the government always rides to the rescue when it's rich people's money. Meanwhile, it looks like stuff like what Biden's trying to do with student debt relief, it looks like that's going to get overturned in court. So it just looks like the game is rigged. So Biden's saying it's not a bailout. And the logic there is he's saying, look, we're not using taxpayer money to do this. We are using what's basically a bank insurance fund that the banks themselves finance. And that is true. I mean, this is not taxpayer money. But I'll just go back to the bank bailouts in 2008 for a couple of comparisons. First of all, those bank bailouts were massive compared to this. A couple of banks here in 2023 is not much. In 2008, it was taxpayer money. Congress had to pass a law appropriating the money. It was up to $700 billion. And most people don't know this, but the government made a profit on those bailouts. So of all the bailouts combined, including the so-called TARP bailouts plus the bailouts of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the mortgage agencies, the government made $100 billion or even $110 billion on that. And that's because they charged interest, and most of the banks paid the money back.
All right, thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes after the hour now, here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
It's being called an effort to deepen ties between China and Russia as Russia's invasion of Ukraine enters a second year. Beijing has announced Chinese leader Xi Jinping will visit Moscow next week for talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin says strategic cooperation will be a topic of conversation during Xi's first visit to Russia since the invasion began. China has refused to call Russia's unprovoked attack on Ukraine an invasion.
Number two.
The U.S. military has released dramatic video taken by the Reaper drone that a Russian fighter jet collided with earlier this week. The footage shows the jet make two passes over the drone while attempting to spray it with jet fuel. During the second attempt, the Russian jet collides with the drone's propeller. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
It clearly demonstrates either poor airmanship or reckless behavior, because just from an airman standpoint, why would you hit another aircraft with your aircraft
military
in the sky?
Military officials say mitigating measures were taken to ensure no intelligence could be accessed from the wreckage.
Number three.
There was unrest in the streets of Paris Thursday night after French President Emmanuel Macron bypassed the country's lawmakers to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Across the river from France's Parliament building, thousands of protesters clashed with police, hurling cobblestones and setting scaffolding on fire. Macron has argued long retirements are weighing on France's finances. Ford has announced it's recalling more than a million vehicles over a potentially serious issue with a part of the braking system. The recall covers Ford Fusions and Lincoln MKZs sold between 2013 and 2018. The automaker says the car's front brake hoses could rupture and leak brake fluid, increasing the distance needed to stop the vehicle. Well, the first round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament kicked off yesterday and brought the madness with it. A pair of double-digit seeds pulled upsets, including another 15 seed from the state of New Jersey, Princeton this time, which stunned two-seed Arizona 59-55.
Arizona with a prayer that will not go, and the Tigers of Princeton growl their way into round two.
The final call on TNT. It's the 11th time in tournament history a 15 has beaten a 2.
Go Jersey. That's always fun to see. Is that why Gordon Jen, we think, didn't make it in today? Were they out celebrating last night?
I would be if I was them. I had to restrain myself a little bit from celebrating the best state for basketball in the union.
That for sure. And thank you very much for making it in, Dom. America thanks you.
You're very welcome.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Does all the bank bad news lately have you feeling a little bit on edge? Financial advisors say portfolios should have some exposure to cash and cash equivalents. We get more now from our own Gordon Deal.
We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His piece is called, Are Your Deposits Safe? Where should you put your cash amid banking fears? Financial advisors offer tough love. I should kind of start with the first part of that about the headline here, which is kind of shocking, but it says, are your deposits safe? Where are we after a week of very heavy bank news?
Yes. Well, you know, the most important news is, yes, your deposits are safe. The FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, they cover deposits below the $250,000 coverage limit. And this applies to checking accounts, savings accounts, certificates of deposits, money market accounts, which are not to be confused with money market funds, but we'll get to that later. But all of these are insured.
We're speaking with Andy Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His story is called, Are Your Deposits Safe? Where Should You Put Your Cash Amid Banking Fears? All right. So At this point, though, there are some folks who are concerned or maybe don't fully understand what's happening. They're looking for places to go with their cash. What do you recommend?
Yeah. So on the cash side, there's a whole bunch of ways that you can store it, and not just in a coffee can under a mattress. You can actually get a little bit of guaranteed interest on your money, which is a good thing in these volatile markets. Again, you have savings accounts. There are high yield online savings accounts, FDIC insured, where you can get you can get interest rates in the three, you know, above 3%, even more. There are CDs, certificates of deposit. And last I checked, those, some of those rates are in the 4% and above. Mm-hmm. The trade-off is your money gets locked up for a certain period of time. You can't take it down. You can't take it early, or you get an early withdrawal penalty. And then there's other things that are not FDIC insured, like buying treasury, like short-term treasury debt, treasury bills.
With Silicon Valley Bank, depositors were insured beyond the $250,000 limit, correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, because again, you know, regulators stepped in and said that everyone, you know, all deposits would be made whole.
That's Andrew Keschner from MarketWatch, Gordon's Friday Eve buddy, as we found out yesterday with our own Gordon Deal. 30 minutes now after the hour. You're listening to This Morning, America's First News.
If you're financing the holiday season on credit cards, Lightstream is here to help. A credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 7.99% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Get up to $100,000 with no added fees, and you might even get your money on the day you apply. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. To get it, visit lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 7.99% to 23.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit, terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more info. lightstream.com/deal.
Exclusive stories and unique perspectives. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
34 minutes after the hour, Mike Gavin in for Gordon Deal on this Friday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Here are just some of the stories we're following for you today. The Pentagon pushes back on Russia's claims about the U.S. drone over the Black Sea. Big banks come to the rescue of another bank teetering on the edge. TikTok pushes back on the Biden administration plans to force a sale or be banned. Meanwhile, House Republicans say that President Biden's relatives received over $1 million from a business associate with links to China. Another big drug maker cuts the price of insulin. Cinderella's made it to the NCAA tournament, and Northwestern also won, which means it's time to check in on the crying Northwestern kid 6 years later and on his way to college. We'll do that in about 20 minutes. Homeowners and businesses across the country have seen their gas bills go wild recently, and David Uberti, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says the turbulence isn't going to calm down anytime soon. David, tell us what people have been up against.
Well, if you're like me or some of the other people that we spoke to in our reporting, you've seen just some crazy heat and electric bills over the last year. The prices have been extremely volatile. Part of that's attributed to the war in Ukraine. But there's also some fundamental shifts in the natural gas market that led us to conclude that a lot of the volatility in the market is going to continue going forward. The upshot for people who are listening is that the bills that they pay for electric or heating will continue to swing all over the place.
And these fundamental shifts are what, David?
Well, they start with, first and foremost, the fact that we're in the middle of an energy transition. Over the last 15 years or so, we've produced an incredible amount of natural gas in the United States, and that has made it very, very cheap. And because of that, utilities have retired a lot of coal-fired power plants. Now, typically, utilities could switch between coal and gas, depending on whichever was cheaper at any given time. But since we've retired so many of those coal plants, now utilities have no choice but to bid up the price of natural gas. At the same time, we haven't built solar and wind capacity quite to the extent that we need them yet. Hopefully that will come online the next 5 to 10 to 15 years to allay that. But in the meantime, we're really stuck with whatever happens to natural gas prices.
Wow.
Where are we on something like you referenced in your piece, the infrastructure to export?
This is one of the interesting things and sort of a difficult position that the U.S. has found itself in. We've produced so much gas over the last 10 or 15 years, and we've increasingly moved to export that. So we're building a lot of pipelines from places such as West Texas or Northern Louisiana that go to the Gulf Coast. And we're increasingly building export terminals along the Gulf Coast to send that gas to places like Europe, which needs it a lot nowadays, and also Asia. But at the same time, a lot of policymakers in Washington or specific state capitals, they're saying, hey, we don't want to use fossil fuels anymore. And because of that, we're going to make it more difficult to make pipelines that carry natural gas between states. Mm. So while it's becoming easier for the United States to ship gas abroad, it's not becoming much easier for places like Texas or Louisiana or West Virginia to ship gas to places like California or New York or Massachusetts.
David, explain the regional differences we see nowadays.
Well, they really vary widely. And if we sort of compare wholesale national gas prices to any given region, they could diverge sharply depending on the weather or if a specific piece of infrastructure is broken. So in California, for example, there was a pipeline that blew up a couple of years ago in Arizona. So that really curtailed supplies and has led Californians to pay as much as 10 times the rest of the country for natural gas. Where I live in New York and a lot of the rest of the Northeast, similarly, because of reduced pipeline capacity, people can be paying 5 times to 10 times as much for their heating and electric bills than folks in other parts of the country could be paying. So we're really seeing, because of these underlying pressures of the market, the regional variations in prices really diverge. And if you have a particular heat wave during the summer when people jack up their air conditioning to stay cool, or during the winter if you have a big cold snap, that's when you really have these prices taking on a snowball effect and really going to places that you and I don't really want to be paying. Drillers for the last 10 or 15 years have just pumped out gas, and it's really made the United States into an energy superpower. And because of that, we have really backstopped places like Europe, which has turned away from Russian gas in the wake of the war in Ukraine. In doing all of that, they have also lost money when prices have gone very low. But we're starting to see them change tack a little bit.
All right. Thanks, David. David Uberti, reporter at The Wall Street Journal.
This show was sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, with every day that goes by, we change and we grow. Getting to know yourself is a lifelong process, and sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react to things the way we do. That's where therapy can come in. It's all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on a journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Through therapy, you can learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. BetterHelp can empower you to be the best version of yourself. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be flexible and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deal today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/deal.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just sponsor a post and receive a short list of qualified candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Well, we know Silicon Valley Bank may have collapsed, but branded company gear such as socks, hats, and wine tumblers are selling like crazy. More now from our own Gordon Deal.
Let me give you the formal recording intro. We're speaking with Alyssa Luckpat, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "There's a Run on Silicon Valley Bank Swag." All right, you did like really a broad picture on some of this stuff. What's going on? What'd you find here?
So there's a lot of Silicon Valley Bank merchandise being sold on retailers like eBay and Etsy, and a lot of it appears to be official company merchandise like t-shirts and hats, but then there's also people trying to get in on the craze by making their own gear as kind of like a joke, like risk management hats and shirts and blankets. And so it's really capturing sort of people trying to poke fun at a large bank's downfall.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of strike while the iron's hot, right? While it's on top of mind for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Like one of the listings I was looking at was even saying own a piece of bank history. So telling people like, hey, jump in on this now before the prices go up. Because like we saw with Lehman Brothers and Enron, the merchandise, whether it was from their office or like merch people already had, was selling for pretty cheap right when the companies started going downhill. But then days or weeks later, it was super expensive. And so if you can get in on the craze now, it'll be a little cheaper, probably.
Wow. On a serious note, Silicon Valley Bank did not actually have a risk management officer. Is that right at the end there?
Right, yeah. So the company disclosed last week that it didn't have a risk officer for the majority of last year. Their risk officer stepped down in April, and they didn't announce a successor until January this year.
Wow. We're speaking with Alyssa Luckpat, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "There's a Run on Silicon Valley Bank Swag." So you referenced the Lehman Brothers, Enron, all of these different meme type things. How about this guy you spoke to, this Ted Aronson, value investor, loves this type of memorabilia. What's some of the stuff he has?
Yeah, so he was telling me all about his collection. He says he spent about $25,000 on different things, including a framed picture of Bernie Madoff, who famously, you know, ran a Ponzi scheme. He had a stock certificate from a 19th century company called Keeley Motor Company, which built these engines proclaiming to use a technology that does not exist. And he also has a code of ethics booklet from Enron that he keeps in a coffee table in his company's reception area. And he was telling me that a lot of older people, when they come into the reception area, will crack up when they see the booklet. A lot of younger people are just plain confused. And he was telling me when he read through the booklet, it was just hysterical because it has these really stringent rules about insider trading and other things. And then the company ultimately imploded. So we see how that went.
Right. Is there stuff out there too for FTX, obviously?
Yes. So FTX famously filed for bankruptcy in November. And very quickly, as we see a lot of times with companies that explode, people jump in on the craze by either making gear or selling actual gear. And so my colleague, Caitlin, talked to the infamous Anna Sorokin, also known as Anna Delvey, who Caitlin saw a picture of Anna at a Christmas party, and Anna's sweater said FTX Risk Management Department 2022. And so she eventually figured out that Anna bought the sweater as a joke, and she, because she was on Etsy trying to find something to decorate her ankle monitor, and then just found this sweater. And she says she wore it ironically. And then Anna also owns a Melvin Capital sweater, which was the hedge fund that went under after it bet against GameStop. And she also said she bought a SVB hoodie.
Goodness. All right. So you referenced in the story, I guess, is it an Etsy seller or merch seller, Crypto Designs Company? What have they experienced
right.
lately?
So my colleague Caitlin talked to him, this guy who runs Crypto Design Company, a shop on Etsy. And he was saying that his most popular item in his shop was an FTX risk management hoodie, which obviously was created as a joke. And he said 30% of his shop's overall sales were FTX swag.
Wow. That's Alyssa Luckpat from the Wall Street Journal with our own Gordon Deal.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories, plus free shipping and special financing
with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
I'm Mike Gavin, in for Gordon on this Friday, St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for coming by, where the subs rule. Speaking of subs, here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The U.S. banking system is sound. That's the word from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen as financial leaders move to shore up another struggling bank. America's 11 of America's biggest are making a total of $30 billion in deposits into First Republic Bank, the nation's 14th largest. Leaders are hoping to prevent a failure, as occurred at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature. But lawmakers like Senator Sherrod Brown aren't enthused.
5 years ago, Congress passed a law that weakened bank rules at the behest of the banks, including the behest of the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank, who was one of the leaders in weakening the rules. And look what happened.
The cash infusion is expected to solve First Republic's immediate issues of a falling stock price and fleeing depositors.
Number two.
At least two dozen of former President Donald Trump's staff at his Mar-a-Lago home have been subpoenaed to testify to a federal grand jury investigating his handling of classified documents. Those subpoenaed reportedly range from Trump's closest Florida aides to restaurant servers and a housekeeper. Last summer, FBI agents recovered more than 100 classified documents during a search of Mar-a-Lago.
Number three.
Poland is set to become the first NATO member to fulfill Ukraine's increasingly urgent requests for fighter jets. Poland's president said Thursday his country will supply Ukraine with about a dozen MiG-29 warplanes, with the first of the Soviet-made jets changing hands in the next few days. Big news impacting people with diabetes. French drug maker Sanofi says it will cap the out-of-pocket cost of its most popular insulin at $35 a month for people with private insurance. The change will take effect at the start of the year. Sanofi is the last of America's three major insulin makers to cut or cap the price of the drug, following Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk. Together, they make up roughly 90% of America's insulin market. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to our loyal listeners, Irish or not. For those celebrating, all sorts of national chains are running specials and giveaways, and chief among them, Krispy Kreme, which is giving out free glazed donuts to customers wearing green today. Applebee's has brought back its $6 drinks for the holidays, including the Tipsy Leprechaun and Pot of Gold Colada. And this week, Arby's has brought back its Reuben with traditional corned beef, plus $5 fish sandwiches today only.
So we already speculated that Gordon and Jen might not have made it in today because they were out, you know, celebrating the tournament yesterday, Princeton's big win for New Jersey. You know, it's also St. Patrick's Day. So that's another excuse for them to not show up at 3 a.m. today. You think it's either one of those or both?
And can't you imagine them saddling up to the bar at Applebee's for a Pot of Gold Colada?
Yeah. Jen, for sure. In fact, I want a picture of that, and we're going to put that on our Instagram page if and when that does happen. Thanks very much, Dom. Northwestern is making its second ever appearance in the NCAA men's tournament and advanced, just like the first time in 2017, bringing with it memories of a meme that swept the nation. According to a profile piece in the Sporting News, search Crying Northwestern Kid in Google will auto-populate your search term before you finish typing. 12 images immediately appear, most of which show an agonized 12-year-old wearing a purple Northwestern jersey. John Phillips shot to infamy 6 years ago after his beloved Wildcats came oh so close to upsetting top-seeded Gonzaga when a flagrant foul call late in the second half sent Phillips into hysterics on the sideline, caught by cameras, and a meme was born. While being a meme has its ups and downs, Phillips says he embraces it now and used it for his college essay, which got him accepted to Harvard. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Mike Gavin. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.